relationship. It was like talking to an ice cube. Roy said he had no recollection of such a call. Ovitz expounded at considerable length on his deteriorating relationship with Disney directors when he was later asked to testify about the subject. You would have to be a raving idiot, totally insensitive, imperceptive, and stupid not to feel the vibrations that you got from some of those people from the beginning. If I put it on a graph, it would move down geometrically each month. And I exclude Litvak from all of this because he was, you know, the Cardinal Richelieu of the group. To the best of my knowledge, I believe that Stanley Gold and Irwin Russell knew everything first, then Tom Murphy and the others. And on the other side, I don't believe that Carden Walker or Bob Stern or Dick Nunes or Ignacio Lozano or Ravetta Bowers knew anything first. They knew it eventually. That was my perception of it. It was the way I interfaced with these people. It started fantastic, and it quickly, I could feel it start to go downhill. I could feel Roy Disney turn on me. I could just feel it. Now, why would he do that? I never had any interaction with him to make him do that. So, somebody had to be saying it to him. So I assumed when I felt him going south on me, it had to come from Eisner. And I felt the same thing from the other directors that I mentioned. At the same time, Ovitz remained convinced that Eisner could also turn the situation around, both with directors and in the media, with just a few firm words of support. I went to him many times, Ovitz testified, and asked him to just please, please make some comment that backs me up. I said, "You've got to back me up. This is the kind of thing that I told you before I got here conceivably could happen." He could have stopped this in its tracks by just making the appropriate public statements, but he refused to. Nonetheless, on September 30th, the same evening he was briefing directors about his decision to fire Ovitz, Eisner agreed to appear with his beleaguered president on CNN's Larry King Live via a live satellite hookup from Orlando. Eisner said nothing about his own nearly constant concerns that Ovitz wasn't telling the truth and couldn't be trusted, and instead suggested that false rumors of a rift between him and Ovitz were being planted by unspecified enemies. "Michael," King said, "when Frank Wells died, he was a close friend of yours and a great guy. We knew him very... You replaced him with Michael Ovitz. First, would you do that again?" "I actually offered it when Frank Wells was alive," Eisner replied. "Frank and I both wanted Michael to join us, and Frank selfishly would say to me consistently that we needed Michael Ovitz in this company." "Really?" "Absolutely," Eisner continued. "And I've known Michael Ovitz since he tried to sell me a game show in the 70s, and I got annoyed because he sent flowers to my wife because he thought she liked the show. He hasn't sent her flowers since, by the way." "So, Michael Eisner, you would hire Michael Ovitz again today?"
"Yes. Are you offering him again?"
"No, all things being..."
"Yes. The answer is yes," Eisner said.
"I mean," King continued, "that would certainly clear up any rift stories. Have you any idea..."
"By the way," Eisner interrupted, "there has not been one story where one person is quoted directly about any problem inside our company. It's just all baloney. The fact of the matter is, we, together, have almost as..."